I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
I would articulate exactly what you want everyone to have. This is another thing. You know, the dirty little secret in the law in the funeral industry is it's never about the money. Let me tell you, it's always about the money, and it's always about the most random possessions that you would like be like, are you kidding me? Really? You want that tchotchke? Go ahead. That would be my thing my older self would tell my younger self.
The Dad Experience.
Hey guys, welcome again to an exciting episode of The Dad Experience. On today's episode, we have Chris Meyer. Chris is a funeral director. He's also an author who just released a book, Life in 20 Lessons, What a Funeral Guy Discovered About Life from Death. It's a self-help book. We're going to talk a little bit about that, preparing your families for death and how we can better prepare our loved ones. So really excited to talk to Chris about all these great things. Welcome, Chris, to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Well, all of our recording woes aside, right? Our folks listening won't know what we went through, but we tried to record at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is now 7:14 Eastern Standard Time. So, and we won't talk about the little mistakes that I made on my end as the guy recording.
I think it was all me because I'm not the most techie guy.
Well, at least you're laughing about it, so
yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, here on The Dad Experience, we always ask who lives with you at home? What's kind of the makeup of your household?
Yeah, so I'm a dad of three sons, 15, 13, and 10. And I have been married for about 18, 19 years now. The same woman. Very lucky.
Yeah. And you're all the way in a sunnier location than myself. I'm in the tundra right now. So
you're in the tundra and I'm in Sacramento and it's a little gray, but it's definitely probably warmer than where you're at.
It is. It's probably much warmer. We have snow on the ground and all that good stuff. Although, you know, my kids love the snow. I have little ones. I have a 2-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. So they went out and built their snowman and
awesome.
That stuff. So that's kind of fun to be able to do that stuff. So
sure.
I think I would miss that. Well, you said you were off the microphone. You said you were an East Coaster originally, right?
Yes. Right, so outside of New York City. So I know snowmen and snow angels and shoveling my very well.
Yeah. Those, I'm sure you don't miss it.
No.
So you have a book that's out, as I talked about in the intro. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and how it came about and, you know, kind of maybe just a short synopsis of why you wrote it and a little bit about what it is?
Yeah. So the book is called Life in 20 Lessons and What a Funeral Guy Discovered About Life from Death. And I have had the opportunity to own a funeral home for the last 3 years. And in doing so, I have met with families. And over time, I started to hear the same regrets and sort of the same, Chris, be aware of this. And, you know, just really connecting with people. And once those lessons started repeating themselves, I was like, wow, I got to write these down, and I think I could help a lot of people with this. So this is sort of the anti-death book. I still am in the industry, but I learned great lessons that everyone should just pick up the book and find them out. Some are practical, some are profound, some are very simple, some are a little bit more complex. But really, they're all the genesis of each of them comes from a surviving family. And what was more profound for me was that at the exact same time I became a dad. So I had a son and I was an unemployed screenwriter in Hollywood. And my wife said, let's get out of here. I want to be a mom. And I was like, ooh, what do I do? And she had a friend who was a mortician who had always been saying, this is a great industry to be in. And lo and behold, we purchased a funeral home on the cusp of bankruptcy and turned it around. And that was my beginning in the funeral industry. It wasn't my lifelong calling. I'm an attorney in New York. I loaded up, I made a low budget film in New York City, loaded my car and moved to LA to be a writer. And lo and behold, 11 years later, we had a son and I wanted to become a dad. And man, when you look at those child's eyes for the first time, you're like, man, I better get this thing rolling.
And
me, it was really out of necessity, right? It was that becoming a dad and looking at your son and knowing, well, man, I don't have anything right now. You know, this is no real option B. And so that was sort of the genesis of the entire book. And yeah, it's been great. It's been so much fun to write and been enjoy talking about it. And I think it could help a lot of people.
Absolutely. And there's a lot in there that, you know, there's a lot of topics that you that we just we kind of glaze over and we don't talk about death. That's the thing that's going to happen someday. And, you know, I'm sure you working in the industry, not that we're more used to that happening. I'm sure whenever a loved one passed, even in your situation, being around it, it's still a difficult situation, but there's things out there that I'm sure that you've learned along the way. And, you know, for us as a family, my grandmother, who she was 102 years old and, you know, almost she would have been 103 in November. She passed this past summer. And that was one of the most jovial funerals I'd been to. Cause I mean, you get somebody that's 102 years old. She lived a great life. I printed up what she's lived through. I mean, she saw Steamboat Willie was brand new when she was young. So stuff like that. But you know, for her, it wasn't like, yes, of course we were sad, we were upset, but that definitely was more of a celebration, which you hear that funerals, you know, like people want that. They want a celebration. They don't want sorrow. And that one definitely had that because, I mean, obviously she lived a long life. So I guess my question for you is, how do we better prepare ourselves and our families for when we pass? And I guess this is kind of a twofold question. How do we start preparing, you know, our children? Because, you know, people are going to pass around them, their loved ones, and you never know when. And, you know, mine are little, but I'm sure, you know, they're going to experience this. How do they, I guess, two prong, how do we prepare them for that? And how do we prepare ourselves as parents for our kids so they don't have to go through that stuff? Have you experienced anything with that or have any advice
I certainly have. So obviously for children, there's a number of great books to start with, but I think it starts from what is your belief system, right? What do you believe about the hereafter? And I explain in the book how I grew up evangelical Lutheran. I went to church as a child every Sunday. Once I hit 18, I never went to church again in my life, and found this spirituality through the funeral home. And for me, I believe in a heaven, and it's not for everyone. Like, I got interviewed the other day and this woman was like, yeah, that's not just not me. And she had a little child. She was just talking about the exact same thing you're talking about. And I said, well, I'm curious, you know, if it's not heaven, what is it? And she went into this whole litany that she had very well thought out about how, and it was quasi reincarnation, but about molecules and more scientific, and that we go back into the earth and maybe come up as something else. I thought it was great. And I was like, I think she's writing the book on it actually, because I was so blown away by it. I was like, I'll sell this in my funeral home any day of the week, because it was a non-Christian centric way to think about it. And I thought it was lovely. For me, it's just, what do the parents believe? Right. And you could go around and show them the various ways. This is the Christian way of thinking. This is the reincarnation. This is the scientific. There's no right or wrong. But in terms of people as older people, I think clearly it's talking about this, having conversations like this and saying, hey, mom, dad, what is it you want? Writing your own obituary, paying and planning for it. Of course, I'm in the funeral industry, but to me, the most practical thing to do is get it done in advance. People tend to think, oh, I'll just do it when the time of. It's really a smarter money decision to do it now when we're all living, because you're locking in today's price. And we all know that things are going to get more expensive when we pass. It's a smart business decision. But a lot of people just don't like to do it. It's not one of those things you want to just say, let's go, come on, honey, let's go down to the funeral home and pay for our, you know, funeral.
Yeah, right. Right.
But the planning, like anything in life, I think is the smartest thing to do. And just to articulate and memorialize that in writing and give it to your kids or the executor of the estate or something like that. But again, as you well know, in a situation with grandma, that's awesome, right? Because you're right, because no one really feels too bad at 102.
Right.
You know, we'd pretty much all sign up for that today. It's the more tragic stuff, the children, the young kids, the motorcycle accidents, the car accidents, that kind of stuff that that we don't want to think about.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, there were somber moments. It was sad, but it was like, man, we got to discuss what she lived through. And like, I mean, World War and
it's just television, the basically now movement. Yeah.
Early automobile to, I mean, now there's self-driving cars. It's crazy to think like what she experienced. And I wonder what, you know, we've lived through everything online. So, I mean, I think what I'm experiencing, it's interesting not to kind of turn this conversation, but what's interesting is I wonder what it will be like when, you know, people like my age or in our age kind of bracket start passing away and see what we went through. Cause there's not a whole lot of tangible like there was for that World War era, folks, or even the baby boomers, you know what I mean? Some of those folks there's more stuff that was tangible where everything's online. We're doing things in a digital age. Heck, we don't even use cash money as much anymore, you know? So it's like, it's very interesting to see how that will progress and change. The subject. But.
No. I love talking about that because I always think about that too. I mean, it almost will become like the Jetsons, right? I mean, we're going to be like flying cars. We're going to be maybe on the moon, some other planet. I mean, to think about it like that is powerful. Was your grandmother of sound mind?
At the end, not as much. And she started to lose it a little bit, but it wasn't until like the last few years. So, I mean, she was through her 100th, 101 birthday. She was still all right. And then it started, I mean, just old age, you know,
just old age.
And it was, what was beautiful and about that whole experience was my wife and I, I still remember it like it was yesterday. We took our kids this year cause we hadn't seen her in a while. We went to her, you know, her home and, she was in an assisted living and we went and saw her and, you know, she was laying, I could tell, I just knew something was up. Like I knew we went and it was strange how we went. I don't know why we went. There was a reason why we went, but we went, you know what I mean? Like a feeling where we went, took the kids right after swim or we took them before swim or something. And then we went to the swim class, literally got out of the swim class. My mom called me and said she passed away literally like 30, 40 minutes before that. And that was it. It was like, it's just interesting. It's like, on for little moments, like to see her great grandchildren or to see, you know, to see me. And
I have heard stories like that, you know, in abundance. And I experienced one wife's like, and we were all there in the hospital, same situation. She was kind of comatose, but still breathing and living. And, you know, I think one of us said, you know, why don't we all just step outside and get something to eat? And, you know, maybe she'll pass. And she passed. The minute we all like left and got out of there, they're hanging on subconsciously because you're all there and they want to be around it. And so I've heard stories just like that. And I think that's
interesting how they.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very interesting how the body works and how the mind. I mean, we really are like computers, but before we even really knew what computers were, because, you know, it's just interesting to see all that makeup and how that kind of works. So, you know, is there anything that you'd suggest to like, I mean, you said locking in the price now is smart, which does make sense. I mean, everything's going to have, you know, everything's going to increase in value just because the cost of living is going to get more expensive. But is there things out there that we can kind of do? What would you recommend? Do you recommend just like having it in documents? I mean, I guess it's going to kind of be up to people, but at the very least, what do you think somebody should do? Even if they're not paying for it, with the very least, what do you think somebody should do so they know, so your loved ones aren't kind of left with like this, oh my gosh, what do they want? How do we do this? Are we going to do it justice? Is there anything that you've seen over the years that you've seen has worked? Maybe, I mean, it doesn't have to be paying for it necessarily, but like, just so my kids don't have to deal with, they're already dealing with pain, I'm assuming, when we pass.
Right.
How can, even if we don't pay for it, which hopefully we do, everybody does, even if we don't do that, what can we do to make their lives easier later? Have you seen anybody do anything or it's just kind
of? Yeah, no. I think there's a lot of things you can articulate. First of all, you could plan the entire service, right? You could write it. You could do it. You could tell what passages you want, what musical passages, what biblical passages, what books, whatever. Write it all out. Put it in. I've seen that a lot. That's really, really smart. Some people hand it to an executor. Some people put it in a safe place at home. I would articulate exactly what you want everyone to have. This is another thing. You know, the dirty little secret in the funeral industry is it's never about the money. Let me tell you, It's always about the money, and it's always about the most random possessions that you would like be like, are you kidding me? Really? You want that tchotchke? Go ahead. But I think that would be my thing. My older self would tell my younger self in being in the funeral industry. But I think the what I want to talk about is more of the fun, whimsical kind of stuff, right? Think about how you want to do, you know, I talk about in the book how this woman buried her husband in a clown suit because he was a clown. He literally was a clown. That was awesome. You know, things like that to personalize who you are. Mm-hmm. I think people really, really love that. And I think also, you know, I tell my parents this, and this is very hard to talk about with your children, but I say, you know, do this stuff now. Right. You know what? We don't care about getting money in a will.
Right.
I want to go on a trip with you now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always keep telling them that. The one thing you can't get more is time, right?
Right, right?
You can't buy time.
Nope.
So do it now. And, you know, that's why I love like the dad experience and hearing about stuff that you're trying to tap into is like, be a dad, man. That's the cool stuff. And every single one of those stories was like, Chris, you have a young little boy, go home to him. Be at every school function, coach everything you can possibly coach. They're only little for this small time period. And that for me was the most profound. Yeah. I took that to heart. I figured in the funeral industry, you could probably start drinking at 10:30 in the morning, or you could get home and go love your children.
Right.
And I went the other way, you know, and that's what my book is all about. There's no funeral dirge in this book. In these pages, it's all about being with your boys or your children and just taking every moment. That's what I love. And I know that's kind of what you love.
Yeah.
But those moments, those quiet moments at the tuck-in when your kid is just spewing because they're just relaxed and they want to tell you about your day. Come on, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
No,
I mean,
not.
There really isn't.
No, absolutely.
And I want everyone to know that. I want everyone to know that.
No, and it's a great sounding board. And it is. I think we need to start kind of breaking down that stigma too. It's a part of life, and it's going to happen. So let's not dwell on when it's going to happen, but let's make the time now.
Yeah,
and I think
for sure.
It's so important to remember, and we get lost in that sometimes, and like, oh, I can do that later, or I can do that later. No, I mean, when you got the moment, take the moment. You know,
take the moment. Go out to lunch, go out to dinner, even if you don't feel like it. You know, I always talk about in the book, you know, especially with the elderly, and it sounds like you know it from grandma's situation. They want you there. They just want to hold your hand, to look in their eye, to feel like someone cares. Mm-hmm. You know, this country is very, very strange the way we deal with the elderly. Mm-hmm. We need to reconnect. We need to bring them back into our homes. We need to, you know, just listen. They don't need much. And I had a great relationship with my grandfather, very similar. And we were like best buddies. And we would just do silly stuff like watch football together, go for walks. He would come to all my sporting events. And we were just friends. Mm-hmm. And I think having that connection, that empathy, that, you know, this will be me someday, is something that we should. If we can teach our children, oh man, we're going to evolve 10 times faster as a society.
Yeah.
And one
thing that I've experienced even, I mean, that from the whole situation, I had another great uncle that passed away, and I was able to record him audio and put it together in a whole story and everything, which was really cool. So like recording audio or video, whatever, that's pretty cool to be able to do with your kids or with your loved ones. So, you know, when do you think, as far as speaking with our children about death, when do you think that would be an appropriate time, or is there an appropriate time? Is, you know, I have a 1.5 and 2-year-old. I don't think they can compartmentalize that yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But other than, you know, they won't remember, but other than great grandma was here and now she's not, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
When is that time where they can start kind of, you know, understanding it and kind of internalizing it, compartmentalizing it? When do you think that is an appropriate time? Have you seen that with your experience through what you do, or, you know, even with your experience through talking to people through the book?
Yeah, in my experience, is it the best time is when they bring it up, right? It's not something we want to bring on kids, whether it's a current event, whether it's something that happens at school with someone's grandparent or parent, whether you're, my situation was, again, tucking in at night, my son, you know, was talking to me about death, and he's like, you know, what happens? Where will you go? Dad, where will you be? And, you know, again, that was, you know, one of those conversations, those absolutely blow away conversations where you're sitting there and, you know, I explained to him my belief system. And I said that, you know, that I'll be waiting for you when you get there and we'll be together for all of eternity. I want to go through life like that. I want to go with the carrot at the end and knowing that we're going to be in a better place. It's not for everyone. I get that.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you, I went back into and laid down with my wife and I cried for, you know, 45 minutes just at the hugeness of the conversation I just had with a 10-year-old. And, you know, he's just sitting there looking at me and you could see that go off in his head that daddy's not going to be here forever, you know? And that's what, you know, I could see the tears in his eyes coming and, and I said to my wife, that was as intimate a conversation as I've had with another human being. And again, it was just, it was totally unprecipitated by anything. He was just relaxed. I don't know where he got that from, but we sat and we talked about it. And you have to, I don't know that, you know, children want to hear about it when it doesn't come up on their own, but it'll come up through current events or school or something that they read. And I think that's the time to sit down and talk about it. And again, no right or wrong. It's just what you believe and how you want to explain it to them.
Right, right, right. This is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget, you can email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. If you have a question for me, maybe you have a question for Chris, I can pass it along. Maybe it's a future show topic. So don't forget to check us out there, email us, or check us out on social media. Just search The Dad Experience wherever you kind of, we're on most major platforms. So stick around after the break. We're going to talk more with Chris about his book. And we're also going to talk more about, you know, just planning for funerals and living life to our fullest, I guess.
That's it. Yeah.
So welcome back. Welcome back to The Dad Experience. We're here with Chris. Great first half of the show. Been talking a lot about what we can do with our kids to kind of explain what happens, you know, when folks pass, but not only that, just our experiences in life and living for that moment, which has been cool and great to hear some of those great stories. So, what are some things that you kind of experienced, Chris, with writing the book and through owning the business? What have you experienced? Some things that folks don't necessarily know or don't really expect with death or in dying.
Well, it's super permanent. That's the first
thing. Yeah, it is.
Oftentimes it's very messy. You know, death is not pretty. In any way that people die, it is, people are always stunned and it is a very messy process. And if you don't have the stomach for it, or if you don't want to see your loved one then that way, you know, I encourage hospice. I encourage there's plenty of care workers out there to handle that. A lot of times, especially when people are super close, that's just something that they can't deal with. They can't see that part of their loved one. And I get it. I get it. But at the same time, I want to be, I'm that guy. I want to be there. Right. So, and I explained to you briefly about my grandfather and he had a battle with dementia, and that's super difficult, especially my mom is an only child and, you know, starting not to know, your child, that was powerful and tough to witness. But again, I mean, someone has to be there. And I just feel like if you can, it is as great an experience as you would want to witness with a loved one, because you're there. You're there for them at the end. And you, I know how I feel through the rest of my life, having been through that with my grandfather. And, you know, I have two brothers, older brothers, and they didn't have the same experience, but they weren't as close as we were. And so I find myself very grateful that I got to experience that with him. And it comes back to me in many forms. And it's very strange. My grandfather was a lover of the outdoors, loved to take walks. And I tell the story about going for walks in the early morning around here. And there are times, you know, I'm seeing the trees and I'm feeling the wind blow, and you almost feel like he's going to walk out. I mean, again, I know that's my crazy, quirky, weird spirituality, but I feel a stronger presence when I'm in a place that I knew that he loved, right? Mm-hmm. And another funny story is I was on vacation with my parents this past Christmas, and we were down in the islands, and there was a native guy on the boat, and we asked his name, and my grandfather called everyone Fritz if he didn't know your name. And the guy's name was Fritz, and I turned to my mother, and I'm like, that's Upa, he's here. And she's like, you're crazy. You know, my mom doesn't have the same spirituality that I do, but I mean, that's little funny. Things like that sparked it for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, the cruelness of death is that the sun will come up tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a line at Starbucks, and there's going to be traffic. You know, that's the harshness of it all. And I think it's really important that we try to find ways to memorialize or remember those people who have passed, because it's kind of like honoring them, and it's really feeling like they haven't gone. And I think that's important as a culture, that we all feel that way and we find that that special something that resonates with maybe you, maybe your other loved ones. But the memorialization your own way, I think, is really important.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is. It is. And, you know, it's interesting. My wife and I, even before you and I have chatted, we did put something together. We have it out there with with our paperwork of what we want. And I can tell you right now, I want like a second line, like a New Orleans style second line of mine. But I don't know how that'll bode here in the area that I'm in. I don't know if that would really work, but who knows?
I love it.
Who knows? Yeah. It's got to be a party, man. It's got to be a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want people happy. It's hard. It's hard to do, you know, but I was, like I said earlier, I experienced a more, you know, more joyous occasion through a funeral through my grandmother's. It was nice to experience that. Not like, again, that doesn't mean it wasn't, you know, people weren't upset or sad, because we all were. It was just really nice to be able to go to a funeral and celebrate a life while we're mourning, rather than mourning and being sad and then just being dreary, which I'm sure some situations it's really hard to not be able to do that, because there's tragedy in the world and there's unexpected things that happen, and it's life, unfortunately. But, you know, if you can make it happen and we can plan the best we can, then, you know, I think that's great sound advice. What is the best maybe advice or thing that you've experienced or witnessed through all your years and work through the funeral business, or maybe even researching the book?
Yeah, I think the best thing is that what we touched on already is the time aspect and taking the opportunity now. I am of the ilk. I don't put anything off. If my kid says we want to go for a walk here, or if he wants me to come, you know, I coach. I'm an avid coach at all my boys' sports, just because they love it. It's being involved in their life. They get their friends to get to see you, and their friends start to talk about you, like, your dad's awesome, or your dad's this or that. And, you know, that gives me energy, and that's what, I try to bring to every day. And then the bigger thing is, you know, it's so easy for all of us to stress about money and where is it coming from and how am I going to afford this or that or whatever. And you know what? It's all going to work out, you know? And I think I wish I could hearken that back to my younger self. You know, we tend to be so money centric in everything. And I would say, let's be more experience centric. I think that trying to figure out, try something, fail at it, keep building. Those failures each are the bricks of our life. You know, like, we're building a house, we're building a life. I wish I knew that as a younger age, that the failures are good, you know.
Yeah.
I think in my generation of growing up with my parents of the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. you know, it was one job for your whole life.
And, yeah.
You know, right? And our dads are like, you know, oh man, you know, they work, and that German/puritanical work ethic. I'm not down with that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, in my experience too, my hope is to like to see, to be able for dads to take that time when the children are born. I mean, we're so pressured, and, you know, and obviously it is a, and I don't want to like offend anybody because it is much more, you know, mom centric and they definitely need all the time off, and they don't unfortunately get as much as they really should compared to most other countries compared to the United States, wherever, you know, we have people listening all over the world. But, you know, for our experience, it's just now that discussion, or it's more prominent now that discussion is being had, that said, hey, we need to be with our kids when we don't get that time back.
Right. You
know? And I that's another thing to me, like as like that I've experienced just being a dad and now having two kids, is like, man, I wish I would have stayed home longer. But it's just not, it's frowned upon here at times. And I hopefully that mold is starting to break, and I see more movements, you know, coming up, and you see it through, you know, online or even in the news media, that this is happening, and it's for the better. I think it is important. I think the, you know, husband and wife, if you look at other countries around the world, they'll give the dad quite a bit of time off, and the mom, a lot of times, some places will even have a year off. And
yeah.
It's important. That is so important. We rush back to work, and certain things happen. Depression happens. Postpartum is probably higher. You know, and I'm quoting these things, not knowing based on stats, but but you know, just things that I just would assume would happen. It's crazy. And like you said, I think taking the moments, and those early moments are so important too. It's like, you never get that back unless you have another child, but you never get it back in the same way. Every kid's different. Every kid you have is different, and it's just different. So I encourage even our listeners, you know, gosh, take as much time as you can and try and avoid the outside noise. If you got the ability to do it, stay with them, man.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head right there. The outside noise. The outside noise to you and me now is so much more profound than it even ever was, right? With the internet, with all the TV, marketing. You know, I'm a huge advocate. And look, I'm as guilty as the next guy with my tech and my phones and my iPad too, and my kids' iPads. But if you could just shut that down for a little while, go out and throw the ball, go play in the dirt. I mean, my kids don't know how to play in the dirt. I mean, they really, that was my, one of your questions coming up is like, you know, your profound joys from childhood.
Right.
To play under the shade tree, right, in the dirt with my trucks and my army men with my brother, right? I swear, my wife and I did that. We told our boys to go outside and play with your cars, and it was like watching trained monkeys. They couldn't do it. It was hilarious. And we were sitting there in the window inside our house saying, these kids just, they don't know how to play and get dirt on them.
Right. You know, when we were kids, it's funny. I've seen it. I don't know if I've seen it just as a meme or something online, which, talking back to technology, is how did we know our friends were home or were playing? Their bikes were laying on the front lawn and they were out playing somewhere. I mean, now it's like, go text them. We'll meet here. We'll go there. I'm going to spend this day with you. Or, you know, it's just, I feel like it's created us to be so much more busy, and it just, I don't know. It's just weird. So I agree. It's interesting. So I guess it leads to that question. Is that the thing that you can't wait to see through your children's eyes? Or is there something that you're really excited to see? Do you think that they'll maybe take on the business or something in that nature? Or is there something you can't wait to see, you know, outside of them, you know, experience that outdoors and experiencing being a child like you were? But is there just a moment in time that you can't wait to experience again, or even a new thing that you're just really looking forward to sharing with them?
Yeah, I think, you know, my children are a little older than your children, so I have got to experiencing, you know, the things like going to school, the nervousness of going to school and being on sports teams and having success in their sports teams and scoring baskets or a touchdown. You know, those kind of things are so cool to live through their eyes because you remember them as a child. And for me, you know, I remember what coaches, how they had a profound impact. My father was a worker. You know, he just went to work. He'd come to a special game here and there. But for me, I respected my coaches so much. And so coaching them, I get to look back and feel like what it must have been like for a coach in my life and how great that was. But now as my kids get older, you know, I'm starting to think about, you know, going to college. I have a 15-year-old sophomore in high school, and I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to make it because, you know, I'm going to miss them so much. And I think about that, and I think about the trepidation that I had. I went I was in New York, and I went to the Midwest, to Purdue, for a year and a half. And that felt like you might as well have dropped me off in Hunan province in China. I mean, it was so different from me. And I remember that feeling. And so I'm trying to think about what my child, what my son, my oldest, might be going through. And you know, as he's starting to get ready for the SATs and the PSATs. And then I have another one that's just about to enter high school. So, you know, what he is. And you said it before, you know, your children are so different, right? So the stressors are different for each of them. And you want to check out how they're going to react, and you don't know. So I want to kind of just be there for all those things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's well said. Yeah. Some great things to think about. So, you know, we know you have your book. We know you got a lot going on. This is your chance. How can folks find you? You know, are you on social media? How can they also find the book? All that great stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and all those crazy things, which I never believed in, but my publicist said I have to be on. ChrisMeyerAuthor.com is where I'm at. You could find my book everywhere, and Apple, iTunes, Amazon. And yeah, I just hope you pick it up, because I think it's not a funeral book. It's more of a life book. Mm-hmm. And I think it's written for the American public, short, sweet, with bullet points. So I think it's not too crazy and long. And I've heard a lot of people say that they could whip right through it. But the messages are real, and the messages are from a grieving family. So I think that has a really important resonance. And I just hope everyone enjoys it. I think it's a fun book.
It is. It's great. And I'm really excited to get through even more of it, because I've gotten through a bit of it. And just the conversation we had, it's so great, so meaningful and so important to have. And I appreciate you kind of opening up a new topic that we've not really discussed on the Dad Experience. But I think when you guys reached out to me, I was like, oh, this is something we have to do.
Yeah, for sure.
It's something that we think about, but we never want to just dive into it. So I think it's a great place for folks to kind of at least get the ball rolling and get the conversation started and find out more information through your book. So, you know, thank you so much for sharing all your insight and everything that you've done.
Yeah. And thank you for having me, and thank you, and good luck to the rest of the Dad Experience. I know you've been doing it a while, but
it's been a long
time. It's awesome. It's good stuff.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So thanks for joining us. And don't forget, email us if you have a question about the show or have a show topic. Find us on social media. Just search The Dad Experience. We're on most major platforms. So just let us know what you're thinking. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.